like, well, it's for retirement. And now retirement age is like 75.
80.
And my dad died at 69. He didn't even make it.
Oh.
So that poor guy just like was working and working and working and never saw the
finish line. The finish line. The trophy at the end. So like, the podium.
What's the point?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast.
We are here and we are ready to be positive now that we are seated in the canoe with our oar.
Joining me today, hopefully keeping this positivity boat afloat, is Cosmo from the Cosmo Network.
I want to do my Eeyore impression.
Eeyore.
Thanks for noticing me.
Oh, well, that was good.
That was actually lovely.
Oh, bother.
That's my Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, bother.
Ooh, that was pretty good. And joining us in the hot seat today, we had to bring her right on back, is Carly.
Yay! Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
I'm so happy that you decided to join us today.
Me too.
We had such a great episode, the first one, where we were like educating people about singing and how like trauma affects your voice. And so many people had more deep dive, like in-depth questions about it, that I just wanted to have you come back and ramble and just like yap about what's on your mind, what makes you Delulu.
One, I really loved doing the podcast. I realized that I have to structure my thoughts a little bit better.
Nah.
Because I'm like, no, this has been quite a week. When we are recording this, we just went through the fires. So that was quite something.
Yeah.
And my heart goes out also to everyone who lost their homes, lost their lives, lost pets, lost things. Just sending my love out to everybody. I mean, I'm an LA girl, so just had to. And shout out to all the firefighters and everybody who's volunteered and everyone who has just, you know, saved our city. Like, good. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of new perspective at this moment because we've had a great year.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We've had a great year.
We finished our album.
Mm-hmm.
And by our album, Dare's album.
Right. But for people that don't know, do you want to tell them?
Like, your co-writer, co-creator. I'm going to say ghostess with the mostest.
Yeah.
That's Marnie Nixon. I can never take that title from her. But we co-wrote this album, and I was mainly the lead lyricist on everything, and that has been just such a fulfilling, wonderful journey, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to get to create art with you and to just get to know you in that way.
Yeah.
With gratitude, this year has also brought a ton of grief. And I think that's sort of been my theme this year, is like the deepest gratitude and the deepest grief. Mm-hmm. So, content warning, loss.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my dad a couple months ago, and that has really changed my perspective, my focus, my thinking, my clarity, and just also has made me feel really grateful for things and time that I have. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of like what I've been ruminating on. And people tend to not want to talk about grief because it can be heavy. I mean, let me tell you, grief is a really, really heavy thing, but it has been one of the most important journeys I've ever been on.
Yeah. Okay. I am so interested in hearing more about that, because I do agree that people have the tendency to not want to talk about grief. And I think a lot of that stems from everyone dealing with it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what to say. Like, I even remember like you texting me and kind of like letting me in on what was going on and how you were feeling. And there were multiple times where you had felt a completely different way, and then all of a sudden it was getting more real, and then you had changed your ways of feeling about it. And I remember that like all I could really say was, let me know if there's anything I can do.
Yeah.
You know, don't be shy to reach out. But I still am like very curious, like how you navigated through grief and how are you, where are you at now? What part has that played in music and like in your daily life, in your job? Cause you work with people constantly.
Yeah. So I've actually taken a break from a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I teach voice, like we talked about in the last podcast, but I had to take a little break and I really used this time to dive into grief, like head first and really like let myself feel everything without trying to mask it, hide it, and just saw, like, just felt it as it was and let it exist. Because I've come to notice that whenever I try to bury anything or try to like push it down, it always makes me worse.
Yeah.
And I have an autoimmune disease. And so stress and withholding and that kind of thing makes me sicker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that wasn't going to be an option. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, how can I manifest? That's not the right word, but how can I move through this knowing it's going to be so heavy without just like being sick all the time?
Right.
And by experiencing it really authentically, I didn't really get sick that much.
Oh.
It was really wild. Because I just let myself feel. And you're totally right. Grief is a wild roller coaster and everybody experiences it differently. There's like no wrong way to grieve as long as you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're like, I'm fine. And you're clearly not.
Right.
Highly recommend therapy.
Yeah. Yes.
Highly recommend therapy, grief counseling, talking to people. I had one of my closest friends actually go through some extreme grief. I won't share what it was just for her privacy, but
sure.
Like, I mean, she just experienced something that was so heart-wrenching, and watching her navigate it, and she taught me so much through watching her that she just like dove into it too.
Hmm.
And it took a long time, and society kind of makes us believe that you're supposed to be like get over things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, being the research nerd that I am, I like Google search like, okay, how long does like grief last?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because what happens, like for me, I guess what happened to me is I found out what was going on with my dad. He had stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That was shocking. And there was this whole wave of feelings. And then, you know, he was in chemo and he was fighting, and we had some spats. Mm-hmm. Because one, high emotions will do that.
Yeah.
And two, the amount of medicine and things he was on, like he just wasn't thinking in the same way.
Hmm.
And so he was experiencing things differently. And so like I was experiencing things. So I was like, well, then I'm not going to worry about it as much. And so like I was riding this roller coaster, but when it was getting close, I just like couldn't run from it anymore. And I had to just like really face it. And right. Like when he passed, it was this all consuming grief. There are like different levels. And I know there's like 7 stages of grief, but mm-hmm. that initial grief that hits,
mm-hmm.
it slaps you like nothing I've ever experienced before. Like it's like everything sort of floats away. It's like mushrooms in the bad way. It's like a bad trip.
Oh no.
And and you're just like, I don't know how I'm going to move through this, but you just do. You take it literally minute by minute and you just kind of keep going and keep existing. And then that starts to go, but then the stages of grief start to kind of kick in.
Mm.
And that's when it's like everybody's experience is different, because it just is. It depends on your relationship with the thing that you lost or what kind of loss it was, because there's grief of things that you were meant to lose too.
Hmm.
And I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
More thoughts. And everybody dies. We're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like it's a surprise that someone dies.
Right.
But when you leave things unfinished or you wanted more time and you could have had more time, mm-hmm. that's what makes it really a tough pill to swallow. And so it's been a couple of months now, and I don't think my grief is gone at all. Hmm. I think I'm just growing around it. Mm-hmm. Like, I carry it with me, and it's like, okay, now I just learn how to work with it.
Gotcha.
Like, I recently got my wheelchair that I use part time,
mm-hmm.
and it's becoming a part of me.
Hmm.
And it's not that, like, it's ever going to go away. I just have learned to embrace it and find autonomy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's learning to how do you carry your grief and not let it just consume you the way it did in the beginning.
Right.
I know that's a very long, again, me and my long.
No, this is great.
My long form.
That's what podcasts are for. Long form and unpacking your thoughts. And
yeah. But it has helped refocus me in such a positive way. Like, reminding me, like, what's really important and what I do have time to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what just does not matter. My goodness. Mm-hmm. Like, the things that, like, I was worried about a year and a half ago, I can't even. Like, it's just so unimportant now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just helped me lean into gratitude and not positivity in, like, the toxic way, like,
right,
like, positivity in the way that it's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the seeking it in the genuine way that I think is really important. The important distinction between toxic positivity and, like, genuinely looking for good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, losing a parent or losing anything that really matters to you that shaped particularly your childhood,
mm-hmm.
because so much of how we navigate life comes from our childhood.
100%.
Like, yeah. So much. So even things like we don't think about on the regular, but I think one of the biggest things I've been experiencing is, like, letting myself revisit my childhood.
Hmm.
And it's been really sad at times, but also, like, really delightful.
Yeah.
Like, and reclaiming pieces of, like, little Carly and tending to her more and making sure she's good. And that's part of the reason I paused teaching, is because I couldn't give to anybody authentically. And that's a big thing I've been on, is just being real with myself, not people pleasing. And I just knew that I couldn't give to people. I've even had a hard time singing since that happened.
Wow.
And only recently have I started really, really singing again.
Yeah.
I've had some beautiful opportunities with singing, also alongside of grief.
Gonna say, I saw you at Richard Sherman's, you know, memorial. You sang just fine there.
Yeah. And again, and which, like, grief, you know, and gratitude going hand in hand. My dear, sweet, sweet, wonderful friend, Richard M. Sherman, who composed Mary Poppins, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and was one of, you know, Disney's right-hand writers. He passed away last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not long before my dad.
It was pretty.
It was like,
you got hit by a bat and then run over by a car. Yeah.
And
it was a lot.
I mean, he helped cultivate my career. He and Milt Larson, the founder of the Magic Castle, who literally died the year before to the day.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yes. And
that's wild.
They were best friends. And those two are, like, the reason I'm sitting here.
Wow.
And to lose them both, it was just like a changing, like, the tide is changing, the end of an era. And so it was a lot to take in. But, like, the gratitude I feel for what those two marvelous men still give me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and even what my dad still gives me, it makes it a easier pill to swallow, but a pill you really don't want to take.
yeah, that was a lot in what you said, like, last year this all happened,
basically.
Yeah, it was a lot. Like, I remember us going to the studio and, like, working on things, and I was like, are you gonna be okay? Like, are you good? How are we gonna do this? Like,
it was a lot. Like, I'm not going to pretend it wasn't, but doing something so extraordinary, like, again, it's the grief, gratitude, balance. Like, I think that I would have struggled so much more if I wasn't doing that. I think that was like the light for me that I'm like, I must keep going. I must keep doing this because it's good for me. Not for like toxic work stuff. Like, it really was good for me. And so I'm like very grateful to you and grateful for that whole process. And it also, I was like kind of reflecting on it, like it brought me closer to my dad doing that, because my dad loved music. He was a deadhead. He was a total deadhead, total rocker. He was too cool for school.
I can relate.
Like, I mean, like, taught me so much about music, and I knew he always wanted me to be in music, but like, he never wanted to push anything too much on me. And, but like, he introduced me to rock when I was like three. I was singing R.E.M. and Matchbox 20 and like all these things in the back of his car. And it was just cool to be doing that thing. And I feel for him because he was one of 10 kids.
Wow.
One of 10 kids.
Oh, wow.
He was one of 10 kids. The perfect use, you know. Irish, Italian, Catholic, man. Hey, yo. Hey, Chicago. he was one of 10, and he was somewhere in the middle. And so I just think at that time, like, he was meant to be an artist. He was meant to be creative. And that just wasn't available to him.
Right.
It wasn't possible for him. And I think that was always something itching inside of him that he never got to fulfill. And I feel like I have been able to fulfill that for him and continue to do that. And I feel like it's my duty sort of to carry his legacy, to fulfill that thing he didn't get to do. And I don't know if I told you this, but when he was in the hospital on, like, not quite his deathbed, but like right before, I got to play him our songs. And he cried, and he just, the joy and the thrill of him just like feeling like he was a part of it. That was probably like one of the more important moments, was getting to play it. Like, and it, and he understood that it didn't matter that I wasn't singing it. It's, he could feel me through it.
We're in some of them. Let's not, you know.
I mean, I do the backup vocals and some of them, but you know what I mean. Like, he really understood that my love for art and music outweighs my need for fame or being the star. That creating art matters more to me, and also, quite frankly, I don't want fame.
You want no part of it. No.
Hard pass. I like, I can be fame adjacent. I'd like to be like more successful, but like, nah.
You're like, you.
I'm too foolish.
You're like,
I'm too foolish. It can't happen for me. But yeah, like, it really is that grief and gratitude go hand in hand. And like, learning to ride that wave. And yeah, giving people, if I can bestow any advice on anybody, like, just feel it fully. Go ham. If you have to experience something, experience it fully. Like, what's the point of half-assing anything, really? But if you have to go through something that we all go through. And we've seen how grief can affect people negatively when they don't deal with it right. So, like, you're like, so why not just face it? Like, just go in for it. It's gonna suck, but then it does get better. It really, not better, it just, like, you get out of it, you come through it.
I do weirdly feel like in the workplace, which I haven't been in like a clock in, clock out job for some time, so I don't know if this has changed. You can let me know in the comment section down below. I do feel like American society culture is like, oh, there is bereavement, there is this period of time, but it's very short.
Oh Yes.
Did I just open up a new DeLulu for you?
I mean, like, because this is part of my that Google research thing that, like, I was down that rabbit hole with. The average bereavement time in this country is 5 days.
That's it? Five
effing days.
Wow.
And the average, so in my, you know, my deep dive, and not just like Google, I'm like actually researching like doctors and psychologists. Like
you're like looking up actual articles.
I'm not doing like the AI thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like real, actual. And that like all-consuming grief I was telling you about, that lasts anywhere between like a couple weeks to a month.
Yeah, I believe that.
That fog, that like grief fog that you feel, where it's just like, what?
like what matters anymore? What? None of this.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. but then grief, it's. I mean,
sorry,
you can't do Simon Garfunkel without like keeping going. But like grief itself, it never ends.
Nope.
It literally never ends. But like, and the next stages that they talk about in like all the books and all the everything, that takes like a minimum of 6 months.
Yeah.
A minimum. 5 days? What the hell are you going to do with 5 days? We got to eat.
Yeah.
This capitalist bullshit is just making me crazy because it's forcing us to not feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's forcing us to not live as authentically. And it drives me cuckoo banana pants because it's just unfair. And I get it. As like people need things to function, need things to happen. Like I can't imagine like if something happened and like all of a sudden the hospital didn't have any doctors, like, you know,
for sure. Yeah.
But I just would love to see a leniency or for our culture to embrace a part-time life a little bit more, a more balanced part-time work life. Cause I just feel like we have constantly, we just like live to work.
Yep.
And for what?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense. Like, well, it's for retirement. And now retirement age is like 75.
80.
And my dad died at 69. He didn't even make it.
Oh.
So hey, that poor guy just like was working and working and working and never saw the finish line,
the trophy at the end. So, like, the podium.
What's the point?
69. That's an important number.
I was going to make that joke, but I didn't know if it was poor taste.
Sorry.
Here, that's the other.
No, you're good.
No.
If I can live to be 100 or something like that, I want to die like a 666. That'd be great.
Oh,
that'd
yeah.
That'd be great.
I mean, here's the other part is there is humor in grief. And obviously, to each their own, and everyone handles it differently.
Sure.
I have dove kind of headfirst back into like dark comedy, like because it just, and I think anybody who's lost somebody significant to them can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that there is just this humor about it because you have to. It is part of life, and life is ridiculous.
Yep.
This is all ridiculous. So we might as well laugh at
even
the silliest things. Like, obviously, like maybe not at like.
Maybe right not, like, when step it happened. One. Yeah, yeah. Maybe not when like, I got the game.
Oh, you did? Like, maybe not. Maybe don't do that. But you should, like, have some openness to humility. Because my dad certainly did at the end. He would literally be sitting there, like, in hospice on his deathbed. And he would be like, hey, guys. I'm dead.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, shut up, Dad. Why are you doing this?
You're like, please stop.
Stop it.
That's like something I would do.
Yeah. Like, I mean, because you have
to. Yeah. I feel like it is definitely part of the grieving process is like allowing yourself some comedy and like allowing yourself some time out of the grief cave. I do 100% agree with you where it's like when you are going through something to feel it fully. But I do think that there are windows where you should put on a movie that always makes you laugh and like find those little moments of like, see, life does sort of continue on,
yes.
But I don't think you should poke your head out for too long in the moments of it, which is why I feel like us, I don't remember where we were in the album process. I think there we took like a week off or something, right? Or was it when we were all the way done? Do you
remember? We were just about finished with everything.
Yeah.
Kind of, it worked out really kind of serendipitously. I felt
like we had like one or two things.
We had so one more song left, but we technically
still do.
But we sorry that to that part of the team that we might be have to push that back a little more. But we were pretty close to done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have been different because you and I'd learned how to work with you already with grief and sadness. And so I think it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not fine, but like,
sure.
I could have like, navigated, and you are so easy to work with that you are the future when it comes to how people should like work with other people because you allow space for things, but in such a way that like you still get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really kind of amazing how you do it. Like you're able to like get like hold space for people and life, especially somebody who's like has partial disabilities. Like the fact that you like you hold a lot of space for me and
yeah,
but I don't feel like it is hindered our progress that mm-hmm. much.
Yeah, because okay, now that's totally jogging my memory because we had hired we're working with a PR individual who's helping advise us on like how to keep, you know, momentum moving on like when to drop the next song and like when to have the next album art ready, which has been so helpful because
he's so great.
We know nothing. I mean, maybe you have a little experience in this. I've done it one other time with retail therapy. If you haven't heard of it, you should go listen to it. But like I had to do that on my own and it was easy because it was one song. So I just did it once and was like, cool, that's how you do that. You know, a year later,
toodles.
Didn't put out a song, so I forgot that process. But it's been great having someone to guide us and do the next steps for us. And I totally remember I took over on our like weekly meetings, and it wasn't very long. It was like 2 weeks. And then you kept kind of saying like, I'm so sorry. I feel really guilty. I'm not putting in my weight. And I was just like, what do you like? It's fine.
You're like, girl, shut up.
I was like,
your dad just died.
Yeah. I was kind of just like, don't worry. Like, we're just having meetings about like when the next thing should come out. And I remember I gave you like a couple tasks like, hey,
if you can, like,
if you have the energy today, I just need this like one thing. But I also think it's important, like the fact that we do have somebody to bounce ideas off of. I think team is why it works so well. Mm-hmm. Like that's how I do the whole like if you need a moment, there's another person to work, and then it same thing switch back to you while they have a vacation or they have a baby or they, you know, like
surround yourself
yeah with
amazing people who can pick up the slack.
Mm-hmm.
And also like it's matched energy,
right?
You know what I mean, like it's the same goes for you. It like when you're really busy, like I feel like I'm like, yep, I got this. Like,
yep.
Da-da-da-da. It's really cool to be around people that you can not only vibe with, but like match the effort.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I can't imagine working with anybody else during mm-hmm. such a time. Just time. But it was still so much fun, mm-hmm. like getting to do the album and getting to go through that like that is still the highlight of the year. Like mm-hmm. when I look back, yes, I have this like pile of sad just mm-hmm. crap, but I look at that like first chunk of the year when we really dove in and we're doing that, like that shines just as strongly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like where I keep going back to like grief and gratitude. It's like look at them both authentically, like don't feel bad for feeling good in a time of sadness
mm-hmm.
and don't feel, you know, guilty for feeling sad when there's happy things happening around you.
For sure.
Because like we are just really complex things and we should be feeling and going through all these things and not like feeling things authentically. I mean, obviously like being mindful
mm-hmm.
of the people around you and the things around you to the best of your ability, like
for sure.
Again, neurodivergent, sometimes like my brain just does things and, you know, I think about nothing before I speak or do.
Yeah,
But accountability mm-hmm. is like my favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally accountability is so hot. Like, it is my favorite thing in the world because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to goof. We're going to react on things. But it's that moment after.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing after where you go, oh, crap. That my feelings were so valid in that moment. That was foolish.
Mm-hmm.
I am so sorry. I'm going to work on navigating that better or being able to communicate. Like, I get really triggered or I get really like emotional when
mm-hmm.
or like, or I'm going through this thing, like prefacing, like, what are you going through? What are you dealing with? But accountability,
Yeah.
Ugh. Mm-hmm. Cause some wild things also happened within this last year where grief was good,
mm-hmm.
where some relationships ended and I'm grateful they did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I no longer have the space to be around people who are so not mindful and not accountable
yeah.
for their behaviors and actions.
I feel that.
That it's just, I don't have time for it. I don't have space for it anymore. It's not that I wish anyone ill, but like, if you do not have the wherewithal to know how your actions affect other people and to not have the humility that like, I am human, I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to have to apologize and atone for those mistakes. Like, if you don't have that and you just think like your shit doesn't stink.
Mm-hmm.
Deuces. Like, there's the door. Like, again, no ill will. It's just yeah. that I no longer have it. I don't have it.
Yeah. I even feel that with myself, that there were a couple times where I brought you scenarios that I was frustrated in, just being like, man, I'm having like miscommunications with this friend, or like, I felt like this person overstepped a boundary after we had talked about like, this sort of behavior bothers me. And I even remember you slightly encouraging, like, now you don't have to like cut them off right away, but maybe you should think about like, is this person really bringing something to the friendship, or are they worth, you know, keeping around? Or do you think once you talk to them, they will make an adjustment if it's something yes. that really bothers you? And I did actually end up talking to a lot of my circle, just being like, just want to let you know that like, sometimes I get frustrated when you do this. And a few of them were like, I had no idea you were getting frustrated. I can adapt. And then most of them were just like, oh, got it. Cool. I'll fix that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I appreciate that you being so, like, honest about those situations as well. Because, like, you know, you're not, like, my therapist. You're not, like, my life coach.
No.
But you definitely, like, you were seeing, like, the same sort of, like, spherical, like, you know, you keep telling me that this person's causing you some stress. Maybe it's, you know, as you were doing it in your life, mm-hmm. you were advising me to do the same. And it's actually been really, really helpful and very beneficial.
Well, so. I'm glad. I mean, it's... I never want to cut people out. Like, I right, have right. this analogy, and I've told you this before, where I consider people books in a library,
mm-hmm.
and that I never burn a book. I will never burn a book. I will reshelve as I need to, because, mm. you know, circumstances, life, you know, you put things, like, you have your favorite go-to, like, the Belle walks in, and she's like, but it's my favorite.
Yeah!
Faraway Places. Like, you know what, like, she has her go-to books that she mm-hmm. loves. Those, like, I would consider, like, my A-team, my people.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you have other shelves that are really important that you go, like, oh, yeah, I love that. I'm gonna look, check that out. Like, you have a restricted section that only a librarian can reference. Mm. You don't burn it, but you keep space, like,
The way I look at it is like a train, and I just wait till I stop somewhere before I pick people on, mm-hmm. take people on and take people off. It's like I detach that one cart. Mm-hmm. I was like, just, you know, we're all going to the same destination, but you're not coming with me. So I'll meet you there, or I'll see you when you get there. Yeah,
if you decide you want to go, like, you can get on the next train and meet me there.
Exactly.
And I think that's the, like, one of the things I remember talking to you about. It's meeting people where they're at and like wasting energy if you know the person is not capable of seeing that in themselves. It's not worth the fight, because you could scream until you're blue in the face, but if somebody doesn't see how their actions and behavior affects other people, even if you say it to their face and they're still like like not going for it.
Or what
like,
do they go? Yeah. What do they go? That's just the way I am. I'm sorry.
Yo, no. I mean, because
I do too.
I just. I'm like hesitating whether I'm going to say this or not. Like, I just experienced some things in my grief where I was given such grace and kindness and love. And, you know, to like what you were saying, you're like, what do you say? Nobody knows the right thing to say.
There's never a right thing.
There's not a right thing to say. It's okay if you say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would rather somebody say the wrong thing and then I correct them and then they adjust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and just like showing up for people, like however they might need it. Like, I think you did a great job, actually. And I think it's when people have unrealistic expectations of the griever is the issue.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have an issue with people not reaching out to me. I really didn't. Like, I'm a very outward person. Like, I live my life very just like. Blah, 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 blah. And I was not bothered by if somebody didn't say like, I'm so sorry for your loss or something like that. That like really didn't faze me because I knew they were there. Mm-hmm. And what bothered me was when I wasn't met with grace or patience or softness.
Gotcha.
That was for me. And like, I can only speak from my experience, but I think a lot of grievers would feel that way, that like, we didn't like, there's so much noise and things going on when you're in that like, it's not so much about what you say. It's when we start to come out of it, like being there for us, like as the grievers start to come back to life, being like, how do I people again?
Yeah.
Do we people like this?
When you're on day five in corporate's like, you got to come back in and you're like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
5 days.
And it just having unrealistic expectations of somebody hurting, and everybody experiences grief differently, and assuming that you know what somebody is going through is, even if you've gone through the loss of a parent, you can't be like, well, I only took this long. We're like, you know, like,
see, when you had said earlier that there's not a wrong thing to say, that was instantly my first thought, was like, when people, because I do think there's one phrase that's quite bad in my opinion, where it's like that, I know how you feel, when it's like, I don't think when people grieve, they don't want you to be on their level. I think they would rather you stay high vibrational and just say, like, if there's anything you need. You know what I mean? Because, like, I think when someone is grieving and then if I were to say, like, oh, I know how you feel, it's almost dismissing your grief.
Right.
So you trying to put yourself on their level when it's like, no, stay high vibed. Stay in that positive energy and just extend to help, extend to listen, extend to be there for them.
Yeah.
Instead of like brushing it away.
Yeah. I think the brushing it away thing is the key in that. Like, because not necessarily for me, I didn't need like high vibes per se. I think that like, because I found myself gravitating towards in those moments to other people that had lost in that capacity. And wanting to just be like, how did you do it? Like, tell me the nitty gritty. Like, I want to know. I wanted to know from those people, like, okay, you really do get it. Like, so what did you do? Like, did you experience this? And like, I wanted to know more about their experience.
Mm.
And I try to like, because people don't know the right thing to say a lot, I try to be really like mindful, being a neurodivergent, being severely ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that I have a tendency to show that I'm listening is to relate.
Right.
And so if I say the phrase, like, I know how you feel, like, it's sometimes just an impulse, like being like, I see you is the thing I probably should have said, or being like,
Right,
get you. I'm holding space for you.
Yeah.
Holding space.
And as we kind of like wrap up this, I was wondering, like, would you be comfortable talking more about this on a Patreon episode? Like,
absolutely.
Would you want to stick around for a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Because I really want to like keep hearing your insight on this, especially like if you're somebody who is on the Patreon, and or if you're not and you're considering it, like, this could be a good, like, what not to say to somebody who is grieving, or like what we recommend you starting with, or how you can help them out.
And, you know, full preps, I'm not a mental health professional.
No.
I am not a doctor. I am not anything other than an advocate for for you caring for your mental health and you caring and living an authentic life. Like, that's just, I just want to preface that. Like, I feel really like well versed in it because I've been in therapy since I was like 10.
Wow.
And so, girl has some stuff.
I feel like I have a degree. Just kidding.
But yeah, like, I think that I have a lot of helpful knowledge that could be useful for you, or you can just say stuff it. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I'm not responsible for you. So,
right, right. Well, where can everybody find you on the socials? Is there a certain platform that you would like them to come and poke at you or follow you?
I mean, maybe I'm like an old soul on this one, but I'm like, I love Instagram.
No, not at all.
I love Instagram. The at Carly Bracco would be the way, the place. Also, I'm gonna start like revamping my YouTube, I think, at some point.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know. I say these things and like one thing at a time, but yeah, definitely Instagram for now. Like,
yeah,
I love
definitely.
It.
I'm a big advocate for Instagram too, because you can just put everything there and it's super easy. Cosmo, I feel like we were just yapping over here. Was
I'm
there anything
so
you wanted to add?
Sorry, Cosmo.
No. I
he's working back there. He's
I'm
busy.
Working, you know, I'm the guy in the back.
I'm a singer.
Well, I was thinking. No. I have my own way of dealing with grief. Because I've gone through a lot of it at a young age till still, like a couple of weeks ago of people passing. I use it in my everyday. And like, just like, it sucks because there's people that leave this world that are so amazing. So positive.
Yeah.
And then the question that I used to ask myself was like, why the F am I still here then?
Yeah.
Out of all the things I've gone through, all the things I've done in life, I shouldn't. 42 is such like a far age.
Mm-hmm.
Even 25 was at the time. Like, I'm like, I'll never see 25, and here I am. And I'm like, but I use those griefs. I'm like, okay, well, I gotta do something. I gotta start doing something, be more positive. I gotta, like, you know, just.
Well, if we know that like we're all going to the same place, like, do that thing.
Yeah.
Like, have a little more fun. Like, in the end, like, money comes and goes.
Always.
Like, things come and go, but like, I just enjoy the ride a little bit more. Like, not everyone can just like flip it all over in a day. Like, but like, you know, just try to enjoy it, the ride a tiny bit more if you can, because whatever. We're all gonna die.
Have fun.
We're all gonna die.
just have fun. Do it for every wish you had.
Yeah. So you've seen our Delulu canoe logo. Is there a character in the canoe that you relate to, like today specifically? There's like the bear who
I'm like, wait, I want to see
overseeing it all. See, if you grab that Dove chocolate box and hand me a chocolate out of there. Just kidding.
Oh,
right there. So there's the bear who's like kind of overseeing it all. He's like, oh no, the dog was being.
Oh, I'm the one in the middle going, oh hell no, I'm the one. No, that's the dog. One being like, I'm gonna need you to not. Not today.
I'm here for it.
Like, just be, and not like in like a bad way.
No.
Like, but just in the like, I can't be bothered way. Like, it's just like
I feel that.
Yeah.
It's that face up.
I feel like I'm kind of overseeing. So I'm like the bear today.
Yeah.
Cause like, both my parents are still here. I haven't quite had that yet, but. When that happens, I'll know who to talk to. So.
Yeah, and anything. Like, I'm one of those people that is an open book, so literally anything.
Where are you at with it, Cosmo? Who are you today?
Well, I'm the dog.
You're always the dog.
I'm the dog. I lost my parents the same year. I lost my grandmother, the closest thing to me, when I was 12, and I've lost so many good freaking friends throughout my life. Mm-hmm. And then just two aunts a couple months ago. A couple weeks ago.
I'm so sorry.
So it's, like I said, I use it. It was like, I take this time to do what I can to make them proud. And
yeah,
I had a great relationship with my parents. My parents are badass.
Nice.
But every once in a while, when you get older, it's like, this just, you watch a movie and you're just like, fuck,
That's the other thing. Like, we can go into that.
Let's talk about that on Patreon.
Like, yeah, hold that thought.
Just because, like, I feel like this episode could really benefit a lot of people, I'll put it up on Patreon for free. So for those of you that have been considering making a Patreon profile and just haven't quite made the leap yet, maybe consider doing it this time. If you've watched all the way this far, I'll put this episode up for free so that way we can spread the wealth of information. And there's a Halloween episode that's up for free and also a Christmas episode from last year. So come and join us. It'll be really fun.
Come, little children.
Yeah.
Come with me.
You'll be
in a world of pure depression. No, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Well, stay Delulu, everybody, because remember, Delulu is the Salulu. Let's not be depressed. Or let's try not to.
No, don't
get depressed. Get dressed. That was like my favorite phrase I ever wrote so far.
It's good.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. I'm not going to be able to do that.